Okay, Vastra.
Oy vey. So, we're trying to sing Melachim. Guys, daven for me, but it'll be something that's worth listening to. Sing Melachim. Okay, listen. We were here together, a whole lot of people, about 150, I don't know how many people, from Tuesday to 4 hours ago. And for Shabbos, it was, must have been 200 people, mothers, children, guns, amazing. And they were very interesting people, and we were two groups in the hotel. One group was our group, and the other group was somebody that filled the rest of the hotel just for Shabbos, and they had, they could afford it, and they had Pesach Kron to entertain them on Shabbos, and a very nice group of singers called the Mezamrim. The Mezamrim had six people each. They had six people. They were a choir, and they sang for you the davening. We davened separate, but they sang the davening in Kabbalah Shabbos and Oinik Shabbos after Friday night. So all in all, I've got some nice stories that I heard from one or two from the Pesach Kron. And from, I'll tell you something from the Mezamrim, which is blew me away big time. And some general things that I picked up over being here for these few days. So between coming to Brooklyn and back, I didn't really leave this hotel. So I didn't travel to America, if you really want to know. But I'm here stuck in this library in Eckveld and waiting to go tomorrow to Toronto with another thing. So, I'll start off with some stories that I picked up over the weekend, and I think we can learn from a lot of these stories. This particular story is about a woman by the name of Mrs. Roberg, and she became famous recently, apparently. She lives in, I think, Montreal, and she's 92. And she went to renew her car license to drive. So the guy behind the counter says, "Lady, this is for 3 years. This is nice. What are you going to do after 3 years? You're going to renew it again." Okay, so this is what to learn from that story, but let's go to the next story about her. The story about this woman was that pre the Second World War, she was in Stuttgart, I think, Germany, and everything for the Jews was rationed. So they could get food, but it was incredibly rationed, and there was hardly anything to eat. And they were allowed 4 eggs a month. So what this holy woman did, she was a young girl then, young lady, with kids. And what she did was she decided that every Friday she's going to use an egg to make cake with for Shabbos, whatever she could, and that one egg a week would be gone Friday for the Shabbos. So she would keep that egg, and it was spaced out one egg every Friday for the entire month. And her husband was a tzaddik, and what happened was she cracked open the egg Friday morning to make something for Shabbos and mix it with the flour. And as she cracked open the egg, she saw that there was a blood spot. And she knew that with the blood spot, she can't eat the egg. And then she started rationalizing that that's all they have, and if she would, there was no, all the rabbonim were already taken out and either killed or sent away, so there was no rav to ask about the egg, whether you can have that egg, because halachically it would depend really where the blood spot is on the egg. So she didn't have anything to ask, so she started rationalizing and said, "Listen, first of all, it's Lechovat Shabbos, and we need to eat for Shabbos. And second of all, maybe it's not in the right place in the egg that's going to ask the egg. And if I just scrape away the blood spot, then it might be okay, and it should be okay. And you know what? I'll remember the Shaila. And when I come across a Rav one day, I'll ask whether I did the right thing. And if he says I did the wrong thing, okay, I'll know, I won't do it again." And then she thought that my husband's a tzaddik, and he relies on me, he trusts me. And he wouldn't want me to use that egg. So she quickly threw away the eggs so she wouldn't have any soy. And then she made a chesed, "Wait a minute, what should I do now? Should I take the egg from next Shabbos and use it now and not have an egg for the following Shabbos? Because the other egg was set aside for the next Shabbos. Or should I just take the egg now and use it and Hashem Yazor next Shabbos?" So she decided that she has to use the egg now, because that's the mitzvah that she has in before her, and next Shabbos she'll worry about another egg. So she gingerly took the egg that was set aside for the following Shabbos and cracked it open, and there were two yolks inside. And so, with tears in her eyes, she saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent her a kiss. And he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a message, you did the right thing. He threw away the egg. Here, that was your nisayon. Here, here's another yolk for the next Shabbos, which she was able to keep for the next Shabbos. Okay. The head of the Mezamrim group, now, in general, they're a group of about 20 singers. And I don't know anybody who watched Siyum HaShas. I didn't, but the Siyum HaShas in America, the Mezamrim were the singers. And so they're very well known. The head of the group is somebody called Chili Poison. Where is he from? Monroe, Borough Park. I don't know. He was a Saturn. He ran away from Saturn. And he is a talented singer. He has a group of very talented singers. And they harmonize together. It's heaven. In any case, he now and again goes to hospitals. And he has a guy to accompany him with a keyboard, and he goes into different wards, and he sings for the people. And one day, last week, he went to sing for a guy, an old man, that was lying in hospital in New York. I don't remember which one it was. And on the way out, he went over to the nurse's station. Now, this guy, if you would see him and you would see his act, he's not scared of anybody. He's just chassid with payas, and he's the kind of guy that can move walls. He's not scared of anybody. And he went over to the nurse's station, and with his arms waving, and he's a big character, he's a big guy, he says, "You guys are amazing how much you're looking after my friend. Thank you so much. Keep on doing such a good job." The next day he comes back to the ward, and unbeknowing that the ward was closed off to anybody, they had closed off the ward. He didn't want people coming in. But he walked in, and they ushered him on. They said, "You can go inside." And then when he came to his friend, he said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "Nobody's allowed in. They closed off the ward." So he said, "I don't know." He said, "They told me to come in." So on his way out, he asked the nurses at the station. He said, "How come I was allowed in? Apparently you locked off the ward." So he said, No, you're normal. We normal people would be okay to allow in." And the message of that was, Ein Yofo. And on Shabbos over here, I had to give a shiur to women, surprisingly enough. And I spoke about Ein Yofo, something that we spoke about in school often, that it was the shiur. If you remember, about putting 3 Coke bottles on the table for 3 friends, because then you're thinking of each one and you're not thinking of yourself and you're taking yourself out of the picture. So going over to the nurse's station or going over to the waiters and trying to do that in the hotel and into the kitchen and thanking them, you know they're Spanish, but they're people and they're working for you and they're helping you and they're nice to you, so you go and you make them feel good, so you make people feel good, it's a good thing. So this guy, what he did was thank the nurses for being, he didn't pay them, he didn't do nothing, but the fact that he showed them that they were something, so he was the only guy allowed into the ward that day. And he tells another story which is shocking. And you have to hear the story. There's a message from it. The story was, he was in the hospital ward in NYU. And he walked into a room, and there's a mother sitting next to a boy in bed who's sick. And he started playing, and he played one song, and he sang one song, and he had a guy with a keyboard next to him, and he played another song. In the middle of the third song, the kid falls asleep kind of thing. So he motions with his hands to the mother in a whispering voice, "I'm getting out, I'm going out, I'm leaving the room." So the mother says, "You can leave the room if you want, but I would like you please to sing Malachi Rachmi." So he motions, but the kid's sleeping, I don't want to wake him up. So the mother says, "If you sing Malachi Rachmi for me, just sing it, then it's worth what you did until now. And if you don't sing it, then whatever you did until now is not worth it." So he was kind of, taken aback, and he said, "Well, the woman's asking, what can I do? I'll sing." So he sang Malachi Rachmi. And then she says, "I want you to sing Refaeni Hashem, or Lifa Shmelzer, which I can't remember which one it is, but She asked him to sing that one, and he's already clutching. He's kind of, what are you doing to me? What did I deserve this? And he says, oh, the woman's asking, so I'll sing the Vrinya Hashem. He looks at the bed, and he says, the kid's sleeping. He says, what more from me? And he sang the Vrinya Hashem Vanilov. As soon as he finished the song, he kind of bowed down. He said, goodbye. He wanted to go to other wards and play for Who Needs Him. So he went on to the next room, and he went on to the next room, and he sang, and he played, and the whole time he's thinking to himself, what did I do? What did that woman want from me? What does she want? And on the way out, he said, I have to go. And he walked into the room, and he said, lady, I don't know what you wanted from me, but I come into this hospital, nobody pays me. I'm volunteering to make people happy, and I kind of felt, you know, you abused me. What was going on? So she says, you think you know what you're doing in your life? You think you know? He says, yeah, I think I do know. I came here to play for kids, and I think I do know what I'm doing. So she says, you don't know nothing. You don't know what you're doing at all. My kid is deaf. He can't hear anything. You are playing for me. I needed to hear that. And he said he couldn't sleep that night, and he felt like he was 2 cents. And he says, when we do something, we haven't got a clue what we can do and what we stand for and what we represent. And at night he came home and he got his kids together and told his kids, never, ever, ever judge. Never, ever think that what you're doing is not important, because you just don't have a clue what you're doing with your life. And you never know what message you're giving. You never know what you can be doing. And that happened about 6-7 years ago or something like that. And he said that 6 months ago was this kid's bar mitzvah, and he went to perform and sing for the kid's bar mitzvah for free, because he felt that maybe the mother still had something in her heart, the way he treated her, and he wanted to clear the balance, clear the slate. And so he went and sang at that kid's bar mitzvah. So again, that's something that we have to cherish, who we stand for, what we look like, what we're doing. On a side note, especially to Shura Aleph, but not only to Shura Aleph that left school, really didn't. Pesach Kron, when he spoke, I didn't hear him speak, my wife went, because I was getting a shiur, so she went to hear somebody better called Pesach Kron. And he was saying that a Yid, whether he wears a kapel, whether he doesn't wear a kapel, whether she wears a tichel, whether she doesn't wear a tichel, people see on your face you're a Yid. And expect you to be different. And we had some captains from the U.S. Navy and the U.S. Army, from guys that are part of our program, and they were dressed in their uniform and all that stuff, and they were telling stories of how much is expected of them and how they looked at because they're Jewish and from. And all of you girls, it's the same thing. You looked upon, you looked at, people are watching you, people are noticing you, whether you like it, whether you don't, nobody asked you. And you have choices to make, and your choices are whether you're going to make a good thing out of it or you're not going to make a good thing out of it. Any situation that you encounter with parents and siblings, and I heard about some of you, I'm not going to say what they were, because I don't want you to know that I heard, and some things are not working so well with the parents, they're taking it hard, they don't know exactly how to react to certain things that you're doing, etc. Please, please, please ask for guidance. Ask any of us, what is the right action? Even after it happened and it was a blow-up or something, call us, tell us what happened. We never judge you. Don't worry, you know that. And we can help you to say for the next time what to say. It doesn't mean your parents don't need to be more understanding, but they're not the ones that are asking me. You, I hope, will. And Nachon, I have a bit of less email access at the moment because I'm roaming and whatever, and that's your line Wi-Fi, that's pathetic. But still, all of us, whatever, Greenwald, other teachers, you can email, you can phone, and you can ask for the next move. Okay, so you messed up. Yeah, your father asked you to do something, and you didn't do it, and he got upset with you. Okay, so tell one of us, ask us, what did you do wrong? What can you do better? There's something here for. We want to help you. And people are watching you, so if you wear a longer skirt, if you talk nicely, if you daven with more kavana, if you say bracha with kavana, people are watching you. So they might, in their heart, or they might say something to you that's hurting, but they're watching and they're listening and they can learn from you, and you get a schar for it, and it doesn't matter what they say, you're doing the right thing, and don't ever forget that. Okay, right here. The head of the Mezamrim, Chilu, told me something else which is really interesting. I'm going to take a few stories from him because we spoke for hours because there was a lot to learn from this guy. He told me like this, when he comes to a Hasana, he can see on people's faces what baggage they're carrying, or that they're carrying baggage. Obviously he can't see what baggage they're carrying, but he can see that this one had a fight, and this one has to pay a mortgage the next day and he doesn't know where it's coming from, and this one is not doing too well in his business. He said he obviously can't tell what each one is doing, what's wrong with each one or what the story is, but he can say, I can tell you that people have stuff, everybody has stuff. And he says, and I've got to come into a hasan, and I've got to come into a bar mitzvah, or sheva brochs, or whatever it is, and get people up, and be mesameach them. And I have to be mesameach them with the baggage that they have, and it's not easy. People are stuck in their stuff. He said, but what I know, I have to leave my baggage behind. I have to leave my baggage at home. I have things, one kid might be like this, one kid might have a learning disability. I got stuff. And it's heavy on my heart. But if I know, if I take it with me into the room, then I can't be mesameach another person. So I know I've got to leave that behind, and I've got to concentrate on what I'm paid for, and what my tachlis is, to make people happy. Not the singing, it's to make them happy. And he gets in, and he throws, and he gets in, and leaves his baggage behind. And I think that's a very brilliant message, because he told me something else, which is beautiful, and I was talking about what I do in school, and how I work with the girls, and how I work with you, and he was telling me stuff, and we were comparing, and a lot of it was similar. He told me that he was asked to come speak to some 30 boys who are called dropouts, and he said something very brilliant. I never thought of this before. He said, I don't call them dropouts, I call them kickouts. There's no such thing as a dropout. It depends what you do with them. You kick them out. They're not dropouts. You kick them out. So he went in, and he took two guys with guitars, and they were strumming the whole time. They weren't playing songs. They were strumming. You know, it makes a nice sound with it. And he spoke to the guys for 2 hours. And he says, since then, it happened 3 years ago, since then, all these 30 guys have never missed putting on tefillin one day. Because he spoke to them. He made them feel special. And the only way to do that is to be there for them. And girls, also for yourselves. The message is, what's the Musa asking? What must you learn from that? So he said a sentence, Chilo, he said something like this. Don't tell, well, this is brilliant. Gosh, this has to be a quote on the wall. Don't tell God that your tzaras are too big. Tell your tzaras that God is big. Whoa. That's unbelievable. Don't tell God your tzaras are too big. Tell your tzaras God is big. Because you can talk to Hashem about your tzaras. But put on the side, I'm missing too many things. The point that to remember from that is that we learned and we're trying to be there for other people. You look out for other people. You look for your friends. How can you make them happy? What can you do for them? How can you boost up the spirit? Don't take your baggage into the room when you're going to do that. Forget about yourself for a minute. Your baggage is not going away. Don't worry about it. Your baggage is there, maybe because Baruch Hu Rahman, you're trying to help his children, he'll help you. But you leave your baggage behind and you forget yourself and your things that you're working on, and you go be there for other people. You give your kishkes for other people, for your friends, for your siblings, for your children, for your brothers and sisters that need some love, for your parents that could do with a smile and a helping hand. Leave the funkite behind. Be there for them with your smile. Be with them and show that you care for them. And you leave your baggage behind, and they see that they're there for them. That's the biggest thing to do for people. That's how to go and help people. And there's another vault, I think that Pesach Kron said this. It says in the Lucas Abris, it says in the Aseret Dibros, it says that you're not allowed to want your friend's house. You're not allowed to want your friend's wife. Lo tachmod. Then it says, V'chol Hashem L'Re'echo, and everything that your friend has. So it should have just said, don't want everything your friend has. Why does it have to say, don't want your friend's house, don't want your friend's wife? Why does it just say everything? Don't want everything that belongs to your friend. So it says, they said a pshat like this. It's war with a beautiful pshat. He said, everybody has something that he's dealing with. Some people have 10 things they're dealing with. Everybody has something that we're dealing with. And we look around, and we say, well, that person's got a lot of money. I wish I had his money. That person's got a beautiful wife, I wish I had his wife. That person's got a nice car, I wish I had his nice car. That person's got nice clothes. That person's got a good life, I wish he had his life. You look around, you want that person's car, huh? You want that person's wife, because you think with that you'll be happy. Then you want that? Then take kol ashel re'echo, take his package as well. You have to take everything from that guy. You don't know what he's going through. You don't have a clue what he's working with. You don't understand how he was going through a hard time that morning. You just see some things that you think are good. You don't know nothing. You want that guy's thing? No, take his package. Take his package? No, thank you. I just wanted that. Don't ask. You got your package, he's got his package. And your package is something that Baruch Hu wants you to deal with, because that's what you're holding in life. That's your thing. So, again, that's another nekuda. I'm saying many nekudas today, because I told you I can't give a proper shiur today. I'm not in the right environment, the right state of mind, but I'll give you a different point that I think are very special. And then, sorry, going back to Chilu, and he told another story. Chilu was at a wedding. And he said it was a very powerful wedding. He managed with his group to really get the oilom to dance their feet off. The entire hall was shaking. Everybody was so excited. And in the middle of the chasana, or towards the end of the chasana, the uncle of the chasana came in front of where the band who's on stage was standing. And you know how people do sign language when the music is too loud. So he motioned with his finger at his temple that you guys are crazy. You're crazy. You can't sing one normal song, one normal Haimisha song you can't sing. You have to sing this garbage or whatever they were singing. So Chilu, who didn't mind, he said, okay, he bounces off him. And he said, the guy came ten times. And it started bugging him, started bothering him. But he saw, hello, the whole oilom is dancing like crazy. They're so excited. One meshugah, there was kenichson, one meshugah, what can I do? So he came to the end of the chasana, it was cooking in his side. He said, at that chasana, a guy, an old man, came up to him and he said, you were my revenge to Hitler, he says to him. Why? He said, what are you talking about? He says, because I was in the camps and I lost everything. And I came out again and built a family. And when I'm at a chasana and I can see my eniklach and everybody dancing their heads off, and it's Yiddish folk, Yiddish people dancing their heads off, you brought my revenge to Hitler. Thank you so much for doing it for me. And Mr. Chilu felt gewaldig, so he said, I got to find this uncle. I got to straighten this out. What's going on? So he went, he found his uncle. And he said to the uncle, I've got a very difficult shaila I need to ask you, a very difficult question. I'm contemplating something. Maybe you want to help me. So he said, sure, go ahead. What's your question? He said, next door they were doing renovations in my apartment building. They were doing renovations. And I walk in, and I see that there's a certain beam that's crooked. So I start shouting at the foreman. I said, why are you doing that crooked? What's the matter? The owner wasn't there, so I thought, yeah, I'm going to save him. I started shouting at the foreman. The foreman goes wild at me. Who are you? Who gave you the right to step in here? What's going on? I shouted back at him, would you mind you making a crooked beam? You do something good. I want to help my friend. Get out of here. It's none of your business. So I asked, I said to the uncle, the guy said, I asked the uncle, tell me who was right. Me or the foreman? I felt bad, you know, I came in, I told the foreman, maybe that's not my business, maybe he's right. So he says to me that the foreman's right. How do you know the guy didn't ask to have a crooked beam? How do you know what he ordered from the foreman? What do you know? The Chila says to the uncle, listen to what you're telling me. Did you order me to this chasana? Is it your chasana? They ordered me. They were happy. Who are you to butt in and tell me that I'm the sugarna? So the uncle hopped. He said, wait a minute. Did you just invent that story? He said, yeah, I did. And he walked away. 2 days later, Chilu gets a phone call from the uncle. And he realized, you remember the chasana, the uncle, yeah, that's me. So how'd you get my number? He said, I called 7 people, I found your number. So I want you to know something, that you told me something that 25 years nobody ever said to me. Thank you so much for giving me the message. Chila said to that guy, he said to the uncle, I want to tell you something. I'm okay. I don't have a mortgage to pay the next day. I was happy with the chasana I did. I was doing okay. But one day it's going to happen, you're going to shout at someone, this is the main thing. you're going to shout at someone. You're going to give your ideas. And you don't know what that guy's suffering. You don't know what hardships he's going through. You coming with your shouting and your screaming like a Meshuggah. You don't know how you can break a person because you don't know what he's going through. How dare you do that? Me, you didn't bother me. I'm okay. I'm bounces off me. I'm not the kind of guy. But how do you know you wouldn't have buried me if I was going through stuff? That's what he told the uncle. And the uncle called back 2 days later and he said, thank you for telling me that. I never thought of that before. Thank you for opening my eyes. And again, girls, I think that's an incredible, incredible message that we judge. Oh, we're so judgmental. And we think we size up people and we know people and we think that we understand people. No, we don't. And therefore we can say what we want. You don't know how you're hurting someone. You don't know how you're saying. When I gave the shiur of the Ein Yofel yesterday, then there was a man that came up to me afterwards and he said to me, thank you so much. I needed to hear that because I'm a very judgmental person. And I always look and size people up and think of what I think of them and say what I like or think how I think of them. And he told me that you taught in that shiur, you taught that you don't know what people are going through and you have to look for the good in them and the bad you don't want to know about. Because the bad might be there, you don't know why they're being bad. You don't know. But the good, you look for that, and it's all you try and see. If you have to be careful, he can harm you, it's something else. But still, you're looking at people, you look at the good. That's Ein Yofel. Two more small things. Part of the program means, our email program that we do, is that you sign up to learn, and it depends which program you're doing. And my, for example, here's the Shabbos, my program is 2 years and 4 months, and Issa V'Hetel is 1 year and 4 months or something, and there's small programs and so on. And one of the people that is doing this program is an old man of 82, and he's not well physically. Physically he's not well. He married a younger woman who takes care of him, Gevaldik, and he walks with a cane, and he sleeps slowly, but his mind is always very sharp, and a very special, special man. And he took on, now, after this Shabbaton, a new program to be tested on. He got my smicha, and he got some 7 other smichas that this guy took on. Now he's starting another one. And I said to him today, after, I want to tell you something. I want you to know that I'm going to tell your story tonight to the girls. And I told him that the message, the lesson I'm going to teach the girls from you, and that it's never too late to change, never too late to do something. Because if Arthur can take on another course, and he's not healthy, he told me that 6 months ago he thought he was going to die. And if Arthur can take on another course, and when he finishes this one, he wants to do another course. And he said to me today, Be'ez Hashem, we'll see you next year at the convention. So I said to him, Arthur, you just taught me a lesson. That it's never too late to change, and it's never too late to take on things, no matter how hard they are for us. But the minute we decide that we can't take on anymore, it's time to pack it in. And he had tears in his eyes, and he said, thank you so much. Thank you for giving that to me. And he was holding a set of keys in his hand, and it had a small metal piece that was attached to the keys, and it had the name Moshe engraved. He said to me, you know who that is? I said, no. Is it your father? He said, no, my father was Uncle Dovi. Who's Moshe? He said, it's Moshe Feinstein. He said, you want to know why? It's part of my keyring? Because Moshe was a person who didn't judge other people. He was always nice to people. He answered people. He was always there for people. He didn't judge them. And I heard that about Moshe, and I'm not like that. So I decided I'm going to carry his name around with me. And whenever I feel like I want to judge someone, if I remember, I take it out and I look at it and I try to change my mind and to think of it different. And I said, Arthur, thank you. That's another thing I'm going to repeat tonight. I don't know why I'm so sentimental and crying and choking up. Gosh, I don't know why. But I think part of it is because I don't always do what I'm supposed to do. I mess up so many times eventually, and I'm so many times I mess up. But I think one thing I learned from you, and we're learning it from each other. We learned it in law, we learned it in school. And you should know the people here in the program are kind of sick of talking about Maor and about you girls all the time, because that's what I do. If it isn't a class, or it isn't a shiur, it doesn't matter where and what and who I'm talking to, that I don't mention you girls and how you change and how you grow and how you took on things that were so hard from you and how you're so special. Just one had to find it and just point it out to you, and then you just took off like rockets. And I kept on doing that all the time, and that's what makes me choke up. Because I learned from you, and I still learn from you, that things are hard, things are tough. I'm not in your situation anymore, but Hashem, I don't have your challenges, the same ones. But you showed me that you're willing to take on stuff that's miles far away from you, no matter how hard it is. And it's painful to know that our kesher is going to be a bit less because you're back, you're here in this country and I'm not. And it's hard for me to help you from far. And girls are writing to me that they need help and they're falling and they're slipping, and it's hard for me. I don't know how to. So I'm stuck. And I wish I could help you more. Because all this requires is all we did in school. I didn't do anything for you except one thing, to point out to you that you can do it. And those are the exercises we all did. You took on stuff and I showed you, see, you did it. Right, take on more. And you did it. And you never failed. And if you failed, you got up again because we believed in you. And then you started believing in yourself. And it's harder to do that now when I'm not with you. Close by. So what you have to do is believe in yourself, either on your own or with the help of your friends or the health of your memories. And it doesn't matter if you fall a bit. It doesn't matter if you lose your sensitivity. It's all still up. That's not what counts. What counts is you don't give up. Of course, I care if you fall. And I care if you lose sensitivity, but it's nonsense. That's not what's important. What's important is you don't give up. And if you don't give up, and you try again, and you try again, even if it's lesser things, and it's smaller things, it doesn't matter, but you're not giving up. When you give up, it's time to throw in the towel. And at the reunion, not all of you were there, unfortunately, but I said that you're not allowed to set your bar to where you set it in school. The height that you set your bar in school was good enough, was good for school, because then you were in a different environment. The bar that you have to set at home is lower, it's less, and you aim for that. And you don't aim for what you used to be. You aim to start again. Once upon a time, you knew how to daven. Okay, you daven in school with Devaldik. Okay, you don't know how to daven like that anymore, so you're going to think about school all the time. You're never going to daven like that. You start again. Okay, I'm starting to learn your tefillah. I'm starting to learn praying with fire, with joy, whatever book it is, with your friend, with the chavuzet. You aim for, I have to learn again how to daven. You get up. You start from scratch. What's the matter? You can't do that. You're a baby? No. That's what you have to do. And that's a message to give you. And I can only hope and pray that you continue being successful like you were and like you are. And I'm always going to be proud of you no matter what you do. And say to everybody in my all, we never stop singing your praises. Just remember that and take that and think, wait a minute, there's some people that believe in me. No matter how much I've fallen, no matter how many times I'm going to fall. Still, but they believe in me to get up again and take that koyach with you. Shad Yishmael, you continue growing and growing and shine like stars in the heaven. And Kodesh Baruch Hu give you Shad Yishmael to continue growing. Okay, enough. Gosh, enough. Come on, Adina.